Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm.
Hi, Jim. Another month, and it's gotten a lot more insane.
Is quantitative tightening the elephant in the room?
Well, it might be. I have not really focused much on quantitative tightening, because I think it's a bullshit lie. They're expanding the money supply while they're telling you that they're reducing it. They're expanding war while they're telling you that they're trying to create liberty. They're killing people while they're trying to tell you that it's for improved health. So if they're telling you that they're doing quantitative tightening, I'm thinking it's the exact opposite, because I'm not a moron. The elephant in the room is the Treasury bond default and failed auctions, where the United States is giving money under the table to our allies so that they bid on the Treasury bonds. And I'm sure that the Treasury bonds are all sent back to the United States, the original buyer, in the next few days or a couple of weeks. The elephant in the room is the Treasury bond default and the U.S. government debt default. Everything else is noise. They're doing quantitative tightening. Just try to get this, wrap your head around this. Country after country, enemy, ally, and marginal nation are almost all dumping Treasury bonds, which should end up on the Fed balance sheet, but the Fed balance sheet is being reduced. How does that happen? It happens where the Fed has a backdoor rear guard garbage can. It's called the Exchange Stabilization Fund. They're not tightening jack shit. They're expanding while country after country, a dozen countries are dumping Treasury bonds. They cannot have it show up on the Fed balance sheet because it looks bad. So they lie, like they lie about everything. They're saying price inflation is low. It's not. It's over 10%. They're saying economic growth is slow. It's not. It's about minus 8 or 10%. They're saying the jobless situation is improving. It's not. They're double counting part-timers. The lies are everywhere. Okay, move on.
Great call on the U.S. dollar last month. Where do you see it going from here?
Well, the fact that the dollar was rising is evidence that the quantitative tightening is a lie. It means that foreign central banks are selling Treasury bonds. And when they sell the Treasury bond, that is the foundation to their foreign forex currency. Okay, the dollar is going to continue to go up because it's going to feed on its own power. As countries see others dumping treasuries, they're going to hasten their own dumping. It will accelerate the Treasury bond dumping. At the same time, the derivatives are at risk from higher interest rates, and that will accelerate more liquidation of the bond derivatives, and they're all dollar denominated. This is not a one-off event. One in what could be a 7-stage event. And the dollar will go up in every single stage to wreck the global monetary system and to confuse a lot of good analysts and good investors who don't comprehend that when foreigners sell treasury bonds, the dollar goes up.
The world is a mess. Crisis equals opportunity. Does it look like some markets could be headed higher and some lower?
Well, yeah, to be sure. But keep in mind that we've got a lot of debt in this world. It far exceeds the global economy. And the Uber masters, Uber lords in Switzerland and Davos, they want to see most assets destroyed. They want to see most income destroyed. They want to see most prices go up sharply. So we've got them to contend with. It's the Uber lords of Davos, World Economic Forum. They're all working together with Big Pharma. They're trying to destroy the economy. And when they joke around and say, you'll be poor, but you'll be happy, don't regard it as a joke. They're trying to make you poor. And the only way you'll be happy is if you're on drugs. And that will be temporary anyway. Some markets are going to go up. I think we're going to see a climax of corruption on the paper, gold, and silver markets, followed by a rather remarkable rise in both gold and silver. Gold first, silver second. When the economy is being smothered by debt and by supply chain disruption and by labor market strikes, we're not in a good position to save. We're not in a good position to invest. The fact that the stock market has not fallen by 80% in the last 2 years is an absolute miracle. But they can't allow that to happen, so they use funny money to buy stocks. That's to keep the people fat, dumb, and reasonably happy. Okay, I'm going to be speaking in stark terms because we're in the first stage of a climax. Some markets might go higher. I don't think there will be very many. Gold and silver eventually. But keep in mind that gold and silver have something in common with the real estate market. Notice that in 2008, the Lehman problem was owing to the fact that hard asset of property had a pricing structure based on paper, mortgage bonds, and all the nonsense that the Wall Street professionals put together regarding, you know, corrupt title management, duplicate usage, leverage upon leverage, synthetic bets. Okay, it's all paper nonsense. They turned the real estate market into Las Vegas and it blew up. Well, the real estate market has something in common with gold and silver. The price is determined by paper nonsense, corruption, naked shorting, etc. So we might see a climax of gold and silver going down. I mean like 10% more before it goes up. So the main objective for me and the people that I talk to closely is try to make sure that you survive the next several months, because there are going to be a lot of opportunities. And if you're going to be belly aching for the next several months that your good investments are going down a little bit, then sorry, it's called wartime. We're in a global war. I don't think even 30% of the U.S. and Canadian population recognize the global war, because I think they're dumb as rocks. But the audience here is smart. We know we're smart. We have friends who are smart. We're aware we're not stupid, and we know a lot of stupid people. We're not stupid. Okay, so bear with the brunt, where many investments just don't pan out very quickly. Many investments slide down a little bit. When people tell me, golly, the gold price went down $100, I say, well, it didn't go down $500. You still have your gold, and we're getting closer to the climax. And the climax involves a reset and a new monetary system, gold and silver running the show, gold monetarily, silver economically. Yeah, crisis equals opportunity, provided you don't get killed. So try to survive.
Q mentioned in post number 916, we are saving Israel for last. Any thoughts on what was meant by that?
Yeah, but I got to give a preliminary comment. And the preliminary comment might be more than a minute or two. The topic of Israel, the topic of Judaism, the topic of anti-Semitism, the topic of just Jewish elite in a number of industries, including banking, led by banking, it is a third rail. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Pennsylvania. I had a lot of Jewish friends. I played sports. I tried to kiss Jewish girls. I accompanied some of them to temple on Saturday night. In college, I had a roommate who was Jewish. He died recently because he thought I was reckless regarding the health instructions, and I told him, follow your doctor, you'll be dead in a year. He was dead in 5 months. I've had Jewish professors. I've had Jewish colleagues at work and in graduate school. I am not anti-Semitic, but I am hesitant to criticize Israel or Jewish folks ever, because if you do, you get attacked by what I regard to be reckless, irresponsible, and insecure people. If you haven't noticed the most recent false flag in Gaza, you're dead asleep. If you believe that the Israeli Defense Force was caught napping, you're a moron. If you don't understand the ulterior motives of Gaza with respect to the gigantic Leviathan oil and gas deposit, that it's across five countries, you've missed a very big story and you've been asleep for the last 8 years. If you don't understand the ulterior motive to cause problems within the BRICS nations, which were having not exactly a love fest, but certainly smoothing over a lot of decades of hostility, if you didn't notice that the BRICS agenda and meetings are going to be put on hold a little bit, then you're dead asleep. If you haven't noticed that Ukraine was failing as a war and they needed a new war, you're dead asleep. So, we're saving Israel for last. Okay, well, I heard more about that cue drop, that when Israel is attacked, the news networks will be converted toward the truth, toward the light. So let's see how that unfolds. I don't like to criticize Israel. I respect their right to have a nation and to be secure. I don't like false flags. If you haven't figured it out yet, you're dead asleep. Let's move on.
Do you think all wars are still bankers' wars?
Pretty much. Sometimes they're narcotics wars, but that's interwoven with banking with respect to money laundering. You know, Vietnam had several different motives that I was able to identify by the time I was in my early 20s. Vietnam concluded when I was 18. I missed the war. I did not get drafted. I was in the second draft lottery of 1970 in Pennsylvania, and I outlasted their draw. I figured out a few of their motives. I had a very interesting experience. Okay, bankers' war. We're talking about war, so I'm going to tell you about my first big experience regarding education in war. And it was when I was, I think, 15. We went on a holiday. We went on a two-week lakeside cottage holiday in central New York. Now, central New York is not New York City. And for those who, you know, who are listening and think, oh, New York. No. New York State is not New York City. There's a constant conflict between the two. And the point of my vacation was that the guy next door was about 24, 23 years old, and I didn't really even meet the parents. I just met him because we sat on a bench looking out at the lake and watching ducks land and pleasant things like that. And in the distance, a couple of water skiers and fishermen. And he just got back from Vietnam. So he explained to me the Senate kickbacks on weapon purchases. He explained to me the averaging and level loading of the death count, so they didn't have any one bad, horrible week for soldier kills. And I remarked to my dad when I was younger, isn't it amazing? It's always like 170 or 180 or 190 kills in the soldiers. And he said, yeah, well, that's what it is, Jim. No, it's not what it is, Dad. It's managed. And then I learned about Agent Orange and all kinds of different experimental weapons. And then I learned about Sikorsky and their gigantic contracts for helicopters. And then I learned a couple of ugly things. One was Sam City, which is a North Vietnamese location where a lot of missiles were, and it was a no-touch. No-touch, no bomb, no attack, never. Okay, so why was that? Because it wanted to extend the war because it was so damn profitable. Didn't matter that soldiers were dying. They're nothing but meat. The other big ugly motive was to capture the Cambodian Triangle, which I heard about only a couple of years after the war ended. I heard about the movie Air America. I read up about Air America. I read about the Hmong tribe that the Langley folks enlisted their aid and then saw fit to have all the murdered extinguish the tribe after they did their job helping Langley capture the Cambodian Triangle. And I watched 20 years later in my narcotics education how Clinton said that Yugoslavia and the failed Balkan states were not our business, and then suddenly it was when narcotics became available. Yep, Kosovo, narcotics, yep. And what's the climax of that? Afghanistan, 80% of the global heroin. Okay, so I'm not an idiot. I got taught early. My father taught me exactly nothing regarding geopolitics, regarding war, regarding narcotics, regarding military corruption, regarding political corruption, regarding banker corruption. My father taught me nothing, exactly nothing. But my father did something indispensable. He taught me to be a good student and to think critically. And it really kind of blew up in his face later when I objected to his simplistic thinking when I was in my 40s. Dad, don't you understand this? Don't you see this? No, Jim, it's not on the news. Okay, if you're waiting for something to be confirmed on the news, then you're basically a blockhead. Okay, most wars are banker wars, and I learned an interesting story, and it got confirmed in a movie, The Count of Monte Cristo. And they didn't mention many names, but they mentioned a concept that if you give a false report from a war front, and it's given a false flag element, you might be able to capture an entire nation, an entire banking system, an entire bank that controls the currency for England. And that is what the Rothschilds did 300 years ago. So I learn where I can, I piece things together, and I regarded the Ukraine war to be an expansion for narcotics, money laundering, child trafficking, and something really quite unusual. I believe in late 2019 and then again in late 2020, the dollar suffered a default event, a debt default, treasury bond event, and they needed a distraction. So in early 2020, it was Corona, and in early 2021, it was Ukraine. We're in a period now, Jim, where the big global events are triggered by war. I learned by the summer of 2021 that the Russians had a mission to eradicate the money laundering in Ukraine and also the trafficking in laboratories. They were very focused on the laboratories, bioweapon laboratories in Ukraine, funded by the U.S. military. That information has not been shared with the U.S. public yet. They remain in the dark. I regard a third of the U.S. and Canadian public as dumb as rocks. Two-thirds are not. We're among the two-thirds. One-third is awake and active. One-third is kind of awake, kind of active, and will be revitalized a lot more when they learn more. Most wars are banker wars. Vietnam was a military contractor boondoggle, and senators got kickbacks, and law firms got their cut. The result of Vietnam, Jim, was a destruction of the integrity and viability and effectiveness of the U.S. military weapon procurement system. every weapon system after Vietnam has been pretty much a failure and very expensive. I've got stories. I got a guy who used to work in Raytheon. A nice, nice story. An abandoned project because everybody got the cut and there was nothing left for the project. So they abandoned the project, but they didn't require all the cut to the senators, to the law firms, and to the, what do you call it, lobbyists. Senators, law firms, and lobbyists. That eats up over 50% of all weapon procurement. Okay, all wars are banker wars, and the ones that aren't has a monetary element that you just haven't figured out yet. And maybe not so much bankers, but certainly a high profit center like Vietnam was for the military industrial complex. That entire complex grew magnificently. And the result was that the United States government got its first trillion in debt. And if you don't think that's important, you're dead wrong. Because it was because of that debt we got off the gold standard. And because we went off the gold standard, we got all kinds of fraud, all kinds of you know, huge costs and deficits for the following years. Hey, look, if we already got $2 trillion, what's another trillion? Well, now we're up to 32 trillion. It's going up a trillion every 5 months. I just heard that it went up about $400 billion in a single month. What does that mean? It means they were hiding debt and now it's coming to the surface. Yeah, they're all bankers' wars or narcotics wars.
Could the wars just be a distraction while the globalists are enslaving humanity?
Well, yeah, they're using wars to wreck the economy. Okay, you know, one of the biggest lies I've ever heard about the economy is that war is good for the economy, for all the contracts and all the reconstruction. Has there been any reconstruction in Iraq? No. Has there been pilferage of the Iraq reconstruction funds? Yes. Has there been any reconstruction in Afghanistan? No. Has there been any reconstruction in Syria? Lebanon? No. Lebanon? 50 years. No reconstruction. Okay. The talk of reconstruction is bullshit. It lies. And it's to enable a big contract, a big spending bill, which is largely stolen by the elite. Now, the voice told me way back in 2010 that he had a photocopy of who stole $3 billion from the Iraqi Reconstruction Fund. He said, Jim, that's my life insurance policy, and I've already used it once. Wars are an opportunity for gigantic funding, big profit for weapons makers, diversion of funds, like in Ukraine, toward the Davos Uber lords who lost their money laundering out of Ukraine. A large part of that, maybe the 90% of that, I don't know exactly. We don't get, you know, we don't get reports from America on their money laundering. That's not part of the 10Q. The wars are a distraction because they're worse. They're a stepwise degradation of the economies. And after the economies are sufficiently degraded and wrecked, we're all going to look for help and we'll be looking for Big Brother for that help. Not me. I don't trust Big Brother to shine my shoes. I trust Big Brother to shit on my shoes.
Are labor unions just part of the political machine?
When I was a younger fella, I used to follow the unions rather regularly. You know, there was a big issue with Kennedy and the coal mine union, and that was a jawboning incident where he got the coal miners to end their strike. There were a lot of United Auto Workers strikes. They don't have much muscle anymore since NAFTA undercut them. And there are a lot of cars and trucks built in Mexico now with Ford, Chrysler, and GM labels on them. But I've noticed in the last 20 years or 30 years, there's been a shift where the labor unions are kind of taken over by the mafia. And for those who don't know, most of the mafia is now under Langley control. And that means Langley controls the UAW, auto workers. It means Langley is in partnership with Las Vegas. It means Langley is in control of the drug cartel in Mexico and their oil cartel, Pemex. what we've seen in the last 30 years is a union emerging of labor unions, the narcotics syndicate, and the oil companies. And there's an element in there that I've only learned about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. They call it the Red Mafia. It's the Chinese Communist Mafia. For those who don't know that the Chinese are part of the mafia, you've been asleep for a long time. It's called the Red Mafia. The Russians have mafia with M-A-F-I-Y-A. The Italians have the mafia that was most famous. The labor unions started acting in a manner coordinated with the globalists very early when the corona fake pandemic came on. There was a lot of problems with the supply chain, and then suddenly the Canadian rail workers went on strike precisely at the beginning of the growing season, so the fertilizer was not delivered far and wide. I thought, isn't that convenient? There are no coincidences like that. That would be a billion-dollar consequence and coincidence. There are none. There might be million-dollar coincidence, but never billion-dollar, never a geopolitical, never a geo-national coincidence. Never, never. And what we've seen in the last several months is extraordinary pressure on households and workers at the cost structure level, which has led to difficulty in managing the cost of living. So the labor unions are demanding extraordinary raises, and they're not getting them, so they're going on strike. It's kind of like prodding a cow, from behind, and he ends up breaking a fence moving forward. Well, who is at fault? The cow or the guy putting an electric prod up in the rear portion of the cow? Okay, I believe that the globalists have an agenda to wreck the labor unions and force them on strike. There have been about 3 or 4 different strikes in the last 2 years. They've all harmed the supply chain. Now, enslaving humanity, in order to do that, you need to wreck the economy. You need to ruin the households. You need to harm income. You need to inflict a great deal of pain in the investment financial markets. And then everybody will ask Big Brother to buy them a pair of shoes, ask Big Brother to supply them a pair of pants, ask Big Brother to buy them a shirt and to provide them a dinner every week. And the only way that'll happen is if you don't criticize Big Brother. I trust Big Brother to shit on my shoes.
What is Operation Sandman?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got a new, fresh forecast that's kind of interesting. It was about 2 or 3 months ago I first heard about Operation Sandman, maybe a little while earlier, but it kind of went in one ear, out the other. Operation Sandman is a plan for, in a 24 to 48-hour period, a group of at least 2 dozen countries would sell approximately $2 trillion worth of treasury bonds, bang, 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 quick, to cause a gigantic snafu in the bond market and to force the United States into a default, to wreck the dollar, to wreck the big U.S. banks, maybe to derail the U.S. war machine, which is in lockstep with defense of the dollar. And then, after hearing all that, I put together a couple of items coming out of Japan. I actually reported on this, Jim, in the March report for 2023, the March paid newsletter report. I noticed that the Japanese sold a huge batch of treasury bonds and their currency went down over 20% and they caused a financial crisis. So I did my study and I found out that the foundation for the Japanese yen currency is the treasury bond. So when they sold the treasury bond, they sold down their own yen currency. That is a paradox. And a lot of good U.S. and Canadian and European-based analysts are going to have to learn this because they're still talking. They're still talking nonsense. They're still talking trash that the dollar is going to go into a decline. No, its death spiral is going up. When it is rejected in the form of the treasury bond, the dollar will go up. because the U.S. government will not be doing the selling. It'll be foreigners selling the Treasury bond, which is the basis of their own currency. So the dollar goes up. Okay, when I heard about Operation Sandman again and again, we were hearing in August that they might launch it at the BRICS meeting. We also heard, you know, some rumblings that they might launch it at the St. Petersburg, Russia, late May meeting, which got adopted as a BRICS meeting, not just the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, S-P-I-E-F. Then I started to realize, wait a minute, these BRICS nations, if they do what Japan did, then they're going to cause problems in their own land. And they must have been noticing, because in my opinion, my interpretation, the way I summarize it, is Japan was de-dollarizing. They were dumping treasuries. They're loading up on gold. They were doing exactly what the BRICS agenda was calling for. But Japan is never mentioned as being an applicant for the BRICS Union. But the BRICS members surely were watching what Japan was doing. They were de-dollarizing, and they caused a domestic financial crisis. It is not over. Foreigners who held Japanese government debt had a sudden 20% loss. So the Japanese government had to buy their own debt with printed money, and that accelerated their currency decline. The BRICS nations are watching. So here's my revised forecast with respect to Operation Sandman. It won't be 2 days. It will be 2 years. We're in for a nightmare of a U.S. government debt default, a U.S. Treasury bond default that will last for 2 stinking years. All this time, the big banks will be in trouble. All this time, the U.S. government debt will hit the ceiling over and over again, keep getting pushed up. Over and over again, we're going to try to weaponize the dollar after foreigners have already realized that it's weaponized and have taken defensive measures. All this time, we're going to have monetary decay across the world. The nightmare of the dollar decline and sunset will be 2 years. Operation Sandman will sell a lot more than $2 trillion, but they'll do it in 2 years, not 2 days. What they will do, in effect, is keep the U.S. government on the defensive, on the extreme defensive, on a constant basis for 24 months. Now, it's not magic. Could be 20, could be 28. I don't know. I'm just saying it's not going to be 24 hours, not going to be 2 days. It's going to be a lot of months. Because these countries realize they must discharge their treasury bonds a little at a time. And we just got some news a couple days ago that China, Brazil, and Saudi Arabia in a single month sold $17.5 billion. Well, I got news for you. Japan did that every month for 12 straight months, all by themselves. And they earned a gigantic credit crisis, banking crisis, monetary crisis, currency crisis, and debt crisis. I think the BRICS nations are observing, and they will taper their selling, and it will be constant for a two-year period. That's my new Operation Sandman call. Not going to be fun.
We're hearing concerns of sleeper cells in the U.S., and I'm guessing Canada also. What are you hearing?
I've been hearing about this for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, even in the last year of the Trump administration in 2020, there were porous borders. Back then, it was more like immigrants seeking asylum from, say, troubled lands in North Africa, troubled lands in Somalia, troubled lands in Latin America. But when the Biden show started in 2021, the word asylum vanished. It was more like just immigrants seeking a better life. And actually, no reason at all. Just immigrants, and waves of them. There could be 10,000 a day. And now, I've been looking for numbers. And it was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 months ago, I started getting some good, solid numbers that the total in the United States was about 30 million since, say, 2015. And I always, you know, I'm a practical guy. I look for good napkin rules for math. Canada is always one-tenth. The population is one-tenth. The growth is one-tenth. The economy is one-tenth. Everything's about one-tenth. You're very different in a number of different ways, and I won't get into that, but not in a bad way, just in unique ways. So if 30 million came into the United States, I was waiting to hear a number like 3 million coming into Canada. And about a year ago, I heard it was like 3.2 million. Okay, so there was a confirmation, again, about one-tenth. Now I'm hearing that it's closer to 50 million since 2015. And the suspicion on my side is this goes far beyond making new Democrat voters on welfare. This goes far beyond setting up little cities in West Virginia and Maine and Texas loaded with immigrants. This goes far beyond that. And I've been talking to my military sources. I've been talking to my smart colleagues who are aware of a lot of this. And what we've come up with is maybe a third, like 30 to 40% of that amount of the 30 million, now maybe 50 million, maybe a third, roughly 10 million, 15 million are sleeper cells. That's very scary. What I believe, and this is not hopium, I'm not really I don't imbibe in hopium. I really don't. I might latch on to something and then a month or two later say, look, I'm not getting any confirmation on this. Sounds like nonsense. What's going on? Anything to confirm? No, no. Well, then I start to let it fall off the wall. It no longer sticks on the wall. And what I believe is that there are a number of Soros and Langley sleeper cells in addition to Persian sleeper cells. And I think the Persians are much smaller in size. There was a story about a fellow arrested, I think it was in Texas, and he had a bunch of money and he had a credit card and he had a cell phone and he felt like talking because he was let down in certain ways. And he said, I was told to come in the United States, take my cell phone, live off the welfare, and await instructions from the United Nations. And when asked further, he said, well, I heard Obama was running things in the United Nations for instructing us, and a lot of us are waiting. So my theory, Jim, is that the heads are being cut off for those who would issue the instructions. And instead, we're going to get a lot of migrants who are going to be cut off for paying their food bills and their health bills. Migrants are going to be cut off for even owning a cell phone. They might have to endure the hardship of paying $20 a month on their own. What I'm leading to is the 30 to 50 million in the U.S. and Canada might end up being unemployed vagrants on the street, looking to rob homes, do carjacking, and run drugs. So we might be supplying the manpower, you know, some women too probably, for an underclass based in criminality because the heads got cut off. I am of a firm belief that over three quarters of the elite, the globalists, the uberlords, they've been captured, killed, their bank accounts sacked, and they've been flipped. So, okay, that's my spiel on the sleeper cells. I think those guys who are sleeping in the sleeper cells will not get that phone call.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, could we see civil war in the U.S. and even Canada?
I think it's a distinct possibility. I am going to say something that some people might not quite believe. I think we're already in a U.S. military civil war. The bad element has NATO narcotics. The bad element has the Coast Guard with narcotics. The bad element has FEMA with child trafficking. The bad element has the FBI, which is the National Police in the United States, acting as political harassers and hitmen. The bad side has maybe a good portion of the U.S. Air Force in charge of HAARP for weather management, weather disruption, weather control, weather weaponry. The bad side, I hear, has a good portion of the U.S. Navy, but I just find it hard to believe, and I can't get any confirmation from one particular retired Navy guy. The good side, and they're all at war with the good element of the U.S. military, which is the Marines and the Special Forces, and maybe about half, could be a little less, could be a good deal more, of the U.S. Army on U.S. military bases. Right now, I think there's a very big objective and project going on with the White Alliance to determine the loyalty of military-based commanders in the United States. Are you following Biden orders, or are you following the White Alliance, honoring the Constitution, respecting the rights of individual citizens, not killing them? So you've got a lot of powerful elements of FEMA, FBI, NATO Army, NATO Air Force. NATO Air Force in Germany was responsible for assuring the stolen election for Biden with satellite usage. It's a long story. I won't tell it here. I believe we're in a civil war right now. I've got a very recent military contact, a new source. He's in Florida. He has contacts in Tampa. And for those who know the military, you know what I'm talking about. And he said that there is a military hot war going on right now between the good elements of the Army, the good elements joined up with the Marines, and they're fighting FEMA and the FBI. So the good part of the Army and the Marines are fighting FEMA and the FBI. He said they're killing. It's a hot war. They're killing. I said, is some of that war in Maui? And he said, I think so. I cannot get confirmation. And he told me that there will be no emergency broadcast, that the White Hats have decided not to do that because they thought that it would be from their simulations. We talked about it. From the simulations, the White Hats determined that doing an emergency broadcast and revealing the corruption of those in power would unleash a lot of different disruptive elements in our society with race war, urban riots, riots to ransack food stores, and the result would be a lot of starvation in the ensuing 3 or 4 months. So they've decided to put all their efforts into decapitating the deep state, the uber lords. And I said, if they're relying on the 2024 election, that's going to be a long wait. And he said, I know the plan is to have the military run the vote counting centers, the Marines running the vote counting centers. Imagine that. I'm hearing more and more that Trump will not be waiting for the 2024 elections. So I'm going to get back to that guy and say, well, what's the update? What are you hearing? Okay, there's a lot going on. We're in a civil war, but it's isolated within the military. There was an incident reported outside of Atlanta a week ago. And if it is true, as reported, then we're going to have civilian witnesses commenting on what they have seen. And I'm waiting for that confirmation. But it was an internal attack. FBI and bad elements of the Army attacked good elements of the Army. Okay, there is a lot going on, and it's not in the news. The news is an absolute joke. The news is, to me, has become a 180 opposite indicator. Whatever I read about Ukraine in the news, I assumed was complete opposite, and that's what I walked away with, complete opposite of what they said. And that got confirmed about 30 to 50 times. So that weather vane of 180 opposite turned out to be a very useful device. And you know, the cabal does not give us much credit for intelligence. And again, one third of the people are dumb as rocks, so they don't get it. They didn't figure out that there was a lot of inconsistencies and a lot of wrong information on reporting in Ukraine. And notice that Ukraine will not be reported on very much because we got a new war. You know, I just got to add something to the first questions. They tried to make a war in Sudan, in Africa, Central Africa. It did not work. They tried to make a war in Niger, in Western Africa, and it did not work. So they're turning to the last war in the Holy Land.
Is the removal of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House likely to be a pivotal point in draining the swamp?
It has a potential. What it has done is to call out the rhinos. That means Republican in name only. There's no H in rhino. Republican in name only, R-I-N-O. Those who tried to keep McCarthy in his seat, in his post, were exposed. McCarthy has been now identified as receiving Ukrainian kickbacks. I've always thought that the Ukraine aid, a good tenth of it went to the Congress, and a good two-thirds of it went to the Uber lords in Davos in Switzerland who lost their Ukrainian money laundering. But this has a very big potential for a surprise solution. There's talk about Trump being in line for the Speaker of the House. I was under the wrong impression for quite a while until I got corrected about 3 weeks ago. You do not have to be a member of the Congress to be elected Speaker of the House. Almost every single one has been a member of the Congress. In fact, I don't know if there's ever been an exception yet, but what we might see is a Trump advocate taking over the position of Speaker of the House with direct instructions on the conversion of the Congress during the reset. And it's kind of exciting. I don't anticipate a big letdown, but I could be wrong. When I heard McCarthy was in trouble, I thought, holy mackerel, this looks like an end run. This looks like, remember, I've been talking ever since July or so, July, August, September. I've been saying my seven vectors are pointing to September and October with a climax in October. And now we're hearing a lot of different people. I never heard the red October, the bloody October. I never heard that before. I was just going on my different vectors that all were running out of time and all were pointing toward around October, maybe November, as having a climax. And these were independent vectors. I've identified them before. I don't want to identify them again. They're all over the place. There are numerous different things all running out of time. And now we got a sudden event in the Congress where McCarthy has been outed as corrupt, taking kickbacks from Ukraine, working with the Democrats a little too closely, and so he was disposed of. When I heard that there was going to be a vote to remove him, I thought, well, that won't work. But it did, and that surprised me. And it told me two things. One is that there were a lot of good people left in the Congress, and two, there were maybe quite a few people in the Congress who got visits from the White Alliance. You do the following, or you'll be up on treason charges next year. Okay, this is getting, we're really inch to the final chapter. I don't know if Trump will become the Speaker of the House. I have a feeling that he will not. I think if he is, that would ignite a lot of race riots, food riots, etc. I think he's going to have his guy. The Trump guy will be the new speaker. I don't even know who it is. I heard the name Jim Jordan. I don't know anything about him.
Is the new booster and flu combo being offered with fries?
I read that 85% of the people who took the vaccine did not follow up with a booster in the last several months. I've heard that around 90% are not in favor of additional vaccinations. What I expect to happen is that the booster and flu combo might be offered with a $100 coupon at McDonald's or at Walgreens pharmacy, and maybe one share of Pfizer stock. I think the next attempt for a flu shot, for a variant vaccine, is going to be a horrendous failure. And if the cabal is smart, they won't try it. But if the cabal is desperate, they might have to. We got a lot of trouble in pharmacy land. Retail pharmacy companies, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, and they haven't even gotten to the lawsuit stage yet. So I'm hoping that there is a failed, desperate attempt by Big Pharma. I'm rather convinced that Big Pharma is going to have many of their vice presidents replaced with doubles and other figures. It might not be, oh, let's just say with a beating heart. I mean a natural beating heart.
Is propaganda more addictive than caffeine?
It's as addictive as narcotics. The main fuel for propaganda acceptance is fear, ignorance, anxiety, and those are good. Fear, ignorance, and anxiety. You show me a stupid person, you show me someone who's scared, I'll show you someone who'll march right on down there and take a shot in the arm that'll wreck his immune system. By the way, I've got a friend, and he now knows 110 people who are dead within a month after taking the vaccine. 110 people. He's a social butterfly. I've known him for 15 years. He has a very wide range of friends and parties and contacts, and he's bilingual. He knows a lot of professional people. 110 people he knows are dead. He told me 8 months ago, Jim, I've stopped counting at 280 the people who are dead with 3 degrees of separation, like a friend of a friend who died. This guy has a former colleague from work days in Texas, a former colleague who did not believe him. And they're both smart and educated people, but this guy did not believe my friend who did a lot of research. And the guy in Texas took the vaccine, took the boosters. His wife did the same. His wife was dead in 2 months. His wife's brother died. His wife's father has a heart attack. The guy himself has two brothers who are on death row now with heart attacks. His father has died. So this partner of my friend has approximately 8 people either dead or close to dead after taking the vaccine. And in addition to that, my friend's stepmother and his mother are each dying from having taken the vaccine after having taken the vaccine and at least 2 boosters. They each have heart problems, massive heart problems. And when you're over 75, that tends to be fatal. You don't bounce back. Furthermore, they're each speaking negatively to everyone they know about what happened to them, having taken the vaccine with boosters. And it's caused some family problems, like the son who urged mom, half-brother, urged mom. Mom now telling my friend, you were right. You were right. I should have listened to you. Now it looks like I'm dying. Okay. This is what's happening all over our countries. Millions. One of my heroes is Edward Dowd, and I heard that he might be in line for some kind of a Congressional Medal of Honor for awakening the people on vaccine dangers. I don't think that'll happen unless we have a complete reset and vacating of the Congress and ending of the Biden show. But he's got a rough multiple. For every dead person, there are 4.5 who've lost their jobs from disability. So whatever you hear, you got to multiply by about 5. And that's the damage from the vaccine. And that's going to have an effect on the economy. And I've already noticed certain areas, I don't want to give a lot of detail, but I've noticed that certain areas in the economy where I operate, they're short on staff. And I asked the manager in bold terms, is it because they died from the vaccine? And I've been told, no, they're fewer workers and they're sick. And I said, did they get vaccinated? And they don't answer. And they walk away from me. I actually asked a food supermarket manager a year ago. I walked right up to him and said, sir, I have a question. And this is all in Spanish, mind you. I said, sir, I have a question for you, if you don't mind. No, I don't mind. I said, are you aware that the pandemic was a fake? Are you aware that it was nothing more than a regular common flu? Are you aware that they lied to us? He looked me right in the eye for 5 seconds, didn't say a word, smiled, and walked away. Yeah, I know. Propaganda is very addictive, and people latch onto it when they look for a convenient truth. One of my favorite little graphic cartoons is the long line at the movie theater for Pure Lie Propaganda, and the short line at the movie next door for The Inconvenient Truth.
Do people need to be stupid to be brainwashed?
No. They need to be scared, insecure, vulnerable, and maybe with some bad experiences in recent years. Like a friend might have died, or a husband or wife might have died, or a kid might have died. It could have been unrelated to health. Could like be a car accident. Could be like a war wound or death. So it could be a conditioned situation, could be stupid, could be a lot more than stupid. But, you know, one of the best defenses against brainwashing is knowing what Operation Mockingbird is. I remember hearing about Operation Mockingbird way back in the 1970s, and I thought, what the heck is that? Oh, that's where, you know, the security agencies take over the news networks and make sure that everything that you hear is what you want, they want you to hear. And I say, well, what about all the lies that people figure out? And the guy just laughed at me and said, well, that's what propaganda is all about, Jim, telling lies that get swallowed. Anyway, I learned about Operation Mockingbird, and then I heard, I'm not really sure who the guy was. I think his name was Paul Simon. But before Congress, this one CIA director admitted that Operation Mockingbird was at work with the major news networks and the major newspapers across the United States, and he was murdered within 30 days. That was a canoeing accident on the Potomac River. Yeah, right. Yeah, that happens all the time. I ask people, has there been another canoeing accident on the Potomac River in the last 40 years? Okay, brainwashing is actually kind of a fun exercise to root out the dumbasses in the crowd. I just saw a cartoon today. It said, if you bought the Corona propaganda, then you probably buy the Ukraine propaganda, and now you will buy the Israeli propaganda. Let that sink in.
Where can people subscribe to your newsletter and talk to you directly?
Well, it's at golden-jackass.com. I'm in my 20th year, Jim. This is an amazing ride. The longest job I ever had in my life was 12 and a half years with one company. It was my favorite work experience at a computer company called Digital Equipment Corp., DEC, D-E-C. In my 20th year now, this has been a long ride. I'm no longer a young kid. I'm still full of energy. I'm full of dedication. I got to take more rest than ever before, but I'm still at it every month, working my contacts. Golden-jackass.com is the website. The newsletter, there's only one newsletter. I call it the Hat Trick Letter, but it's the newsletter on the Golden-Jackass site. I'm getting more compliments in the last several months than I have in the last 10 or 12 years. I had been talking since about 2014, 15, 16 about the gold trade note. I believe that's going to be the gold token out of the BRICS. I was talking about the Eurasian trade zone for several years. I think that's going to be the BRICS. It's going to be far more than Europe and Asia. They've captured pretty much the Middle East. And notice that after BRICS captured the Middle East, now we suddenly have new strife and conflict in the Middle East with a new location for genocide. Right. Anyway, the newsletter is not bashful. It is a bold publication. I probably take a lot of shots for being so bold and not equivocating, not hesitating, call a spade a spade. I got a lot of forecasts right, and I give a tremendous amount of credit to my colleagues, in particular three of them. I think they're all three geniuses, and one of them is not only a genius, but he's a great news hound. He sends me stuff every single day, important graphs, and here's a graph that should blow people away. Right now, we have Goldman Sachs and Bank of America over 100 basis points on their credit default swap, which is an insurance policy on bond failure. Goldman Sachs and Bank of America are in the same position as Lehman Brothers was a year before they failed. Same indicator. It is rock solid as an indicator of failure because the insiders buy insurance on the failure. I was surprised that Goldman Sachs was the highest credit default swap insurance cost. I actually thought it was going to be Citibank, but Citibank is right up there, 85 basis points. We're now having a parade, Jim, of the major Wall Street banks all working their way over 100 basis points on bond failure insurance. And that is the red line recognized widely across Wall Street for failure of the financial corporation. So the Wall Street red line is now indicating Wall Street failure. Unbelievable. I got it all. Well, not all. I got a lot of this in the monthly newsletter, and I've noticed that the consult calls are accelerating. It's twice what it was a year ago, and that's one reason my voice is a bit hoarse, because I try to do one a day. I did not do one yesterday. I got distracted, but I do consult calls. I've got a sponsor button for wealthy folks who want to support my mission. And I'm very grateful to the many people who have supported my mission. But, you know, the Frankenbeans here, the mainstream, what do you call it? My main support is with the newsletter. My main income, the way to support me, the way to get informed, sign up for the newsletter, golden-jackass.com. I've noticed in the last year, 20 different people signed up for the newsletter and did a consult payment. And that's a really nice 1-2 combination, because I tell them what's in like the last several months worth of newsletters that are, you know, kind of hard to read. It's pretty hard to read 12 of them back to back to back. Takes an hour and a half to read one. So I appreciate the time having me on your show. Most everybody I get feedback from loves the Gold Radio show. Some are surprised that it's in Canada. I tell them it's out of Vancouver. But it covers North American issues. You do it well. We're in the final phase. We're in the final inning. This is very deadly time. I have slept poorly in the last few weeks. The last several days. I'm very anxious about how this is going to be resolved. And I'm all too familiar with what dead man switches are. So thanks for having me on, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Jim, thank you so much for being on goldradio.fm.
It's a pleasure. Bye now.
My guest has been Jim Willie, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. goldradio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.